Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Mario Mastin. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
Just start the briefing that I want to share this morning with a clip from YouTube. So, gentlemen, if we can bring the lights down and the clip up, let's just watch this for a moment. Great images there, those kids. I love some of those, especially the guy with the little Stetson from the back. No inhibitions, huh? I just want to take a few minutes, just keeping an eye on the clock here, it's what, 10 to 12? Okay. Just to share a few things this morning about the fact that Jesus really does love children, and that that's not just a cute little song that was sung at the beginning of that combination of songs there, but the Lord's heart really is for children, and he wants our heart similarly to be one that's for kids. I don't know if any of you have ever read Gary Smalley and John Trent's book, The Blessing. How many people have heard of that book or read it? Anybody? Few people, three or four, five, six, maybe seven. In that book, it's become kind of a bit of a classic, actually. It was written a while ago, but in that book, he tells a little story about a four-year-old girl, and I just want to recount that to you, and this is it, or they tell this story. Well, there's a little four-year-old girl, and she became frightened late one night during a thunderstorm, and after a particularly loud thunderclap, she jumped up from her bed and ran down the hall, and you can probably relate to this as parents. I know I can. I can remember my daughters in particular doing this. Ran down the hall, burst into her parents' room, jumping right into the middle of the bed, and she just sought the comfort and reassurance of her parents' arms. And her dad said to her, "Don't worry, honey," trying to calm her fears. And he said, "The Lord will protect you." And she snuggled in closer to her father and said, "I know that, Daddy, but right now I need someone with skin on." You know, this is how Jesus wants us to express his love for children with skin on. If you think about it, that's the way that God has expressed his love to us, because we're all described in the scripture as being children of God, right? And how did God express his love to us? That passage I read from Philippians this morning during communion tells us exactly how God expressed his love to us and for us with skin on. And that skin was in the form of Jesus of Nazareth. So the way that God expressed his love for us is the way that he wants us to express his love to children now, with skin on. I want to read a passage of scripture this morning, just very brief, from Mark chapter 10. Many of you will resonate with this. You'll know this passage of scripture. It's where Jesus has an encounter with his disciples, and he teaches them something that he wants us to know too. It's Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, and it says this: people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. Key phrase there is touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. So here are people bringing little children to Jesus so that Jesus will touch them. And I'll talk about the significance of touch in a moment. But that's one set of motivations. And then we have the disciples, and they react by rebuking these people and the children that they're bringing to Jesus to be touched by him. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Now, you may not think of Jesus as being indignant, but actually, if you read the gospel accounts clearly and carefully, you'll see there are a number of occasions where Jesus was indignant. This is one of them, and this is not directed at the scribes and the Pharisees. This indignance is towards his closest disciples. Excuse me. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, he put his hands on them, and blessed them. So Jesus' love for children, I submit to you, is really clear from this passage. It's not the only one where that's clear in the New Testament and in the Gospels, but this is one of them, and one of the more powerful ones. So what is it, just briefly this morning, that Jesus wants to us to learn as his disciples, that he instructed his disciples right then and there concerning his love for kids? There's a few things. Let me look at them very briefly this morning. The first is this, that Jesus values children. That Jesus really does value children. I've already set up that contrast between the people that were bringing children to Jesus to have him touch them and the disciples who rebuked them, and that contrast really can't be clearer. And Mark doesn't really tell us why the disciples decided to rebuke the kids. He leaves us to read between the lines. But you and I can pretty well read between the lines, I think, and be on solid ground to say that they probably thought that Jesus had better things to do than spend his time receiving, touching, and blessing kids. That they probably thought they really didn't rate. That Jesus had so much else that was so important for him to be preoccupied with, and this was just kind of a distraction, a de-energizing distraction. It just so happens to be, in antiquity, in that society at that time, in terms of social status, children were right at the bottom. Maybe that fed into it too, I don't know. But whatever their attitude was, it's clear what Jesus' response was to their attitude and their actions. It says he was indignant. What does the word indignant mean? To be indignant means to be angry about something. Yeah, to be angry. To actually have scorn towards those that have caused you to be indignant. And Jesus' indignance, like his anger, was always righteously based. It was never just a reaction out of his flesh. It was a righteous indignance, a righteous anger, because he saw his disciples rebuking those that he had a heart for. And they made him angry. He had taught them a lesson in the previous chapter of Mark chapter 9, if you read it, which they clearly didn't learn. Because in that chapter, he took a little child and brought that child to himself and said to his disciples, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me." So when the disciples rebuked these children that were being brought to Jesus in Mark 10, not only had they forgot the lesson he taught them in Mark 9, but who were they rebuking? They weren't just rebuking these people and the children. They were rebuking Jesus, because Jesus had told them in the previous episode in the chapter recorded by Mark chapter 9, that if you receive one of these, you receive me. Therefore, the reverse is also true, obviously, by implication. If you reject them, you are rejecting me. So he's teaching the disciples something really important here. God wants us to honor children, not to just give lip service to that, but to actually honor them in the way that we treat them, the way we receive them. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, a reward from him." That's part of the reason why we need to honor children, whether they're our own children or not. All children need to be honored because they are, to whomever they've been given, a heritage from the Lord, a reward from him. And Jesus was absolutely determined that his disciples learn what it meant to honor children, not dishonor them by rebuking them and keeping them away from Jesus. He wanted them to be involved in children being brought to him. Jesus wants us to bring kids to the person of the Lord. I mean, that's the beginning place. That's the place where they start the journey of relationship with him personally. If we don't bring kids to the Lord, and they don't have that encounter with him, that moment that translates into a faith relationship, albeit simple, they don't begin the journey. I want to say this morning to us as a church, children are of inestimable value to God. You can't put a price on the value of a child to the Lord. He doesn't want children to be alienated from him and from his heart. He doesn't want them to grow up into adolescence and adulthood, alienated from him and drifting through life in a purposeless way, without a relationship with the one who created them, redeemed them, loves them, and longs to know them and be known by them. Secondly, Jesus invites children. He says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." I love that phrase, because in that phrase, we've got two things here. We've got an invitation and a prohibition. The invitation is, "Let the children come to me." The prohibition is, "Do not hinder them." We have a responsibility as those that are a part of God's kingdom to do both of those things, to do everything we can to let the children come to Jesus and to do everything we can to ensure that we do nothing to hinder that we put nothing in the way. God wants us to welcome children, in other words. Actively be involved in that in an intentional way. As a community of God's people, as a church, to intentionally be involved in welcoming children. You know, we have a line in our vision statement. It goes like this: we want to be a people loving children and enthusiastically meeting their needs. That's what you saw displayed in part in one simple little sequence this morning. That we want to love children because we know that God does. And we want to enthusiastically meet their needs. And we know at times they can be challenging and trying and just like us, actually, yeah. Except we have more junk to deal with, and it's often much more problematic to get a response out of us than it is them from God's perspective. Which is why he said, if you want to get into the kingdom, you've got to receive it like children, not like adults. Notice he didn't say, if you want to get into the kingdom, you have to be mature adults. He said, you've got to receive it like children. That statement in our vision statement comes under the rubric of we are for service, because when you welcome kids, you are serving them, which is what God wants us to do. And it picks up on this thing that Ruth mentioned this morning in the few comments that she made, that we want to help them encounter the presence of the Lord. Bringing them to the person of the Lord is necessary for salvation and the first step on the journey with Him. But helping them to learn how to encounter the presence of the Lord is all about Spirit-filled living. And God is intent that children experience Spirit-filled living as He is that you and I do that as adults. And you've heard it said from the very beginning when this church was first planted, Phil always used to say, who is the church planting pastor here, you know, there's no such thing as junior Holy Spirit. And we've kind of echoed that phrase down through the years, because we really believe that, that God's heart is as much for fullness of His presence in person in the life of a child as it is in those of us that are adults. Bringing children into a place where they can cultivate an experience of God's presence and know what it is to have the joy of journeying with Jesus day by day. And that relationship with Him is not about saying a prayer at one point in time and looking back on that forever. That's a starting point to move forward into a full relationship with Jesus, this filled joy with the reality of His presence. You know, I was thinking about what are some of the things that we do as a church in order to help cultivate this reality of an ongoing experience of God's presence in the lives of children. The reason we have Vineyard Kids going on upstairs in our services every Sunday is in part to do that. This summer, a number of you that are here in this service and some in the first were actively involved in our Vacation Bible School, the VBS we did. We had a glorious week here where kids were down the front here. Brad and Jerrica were leading them in worship. And if you, I know some of you were here and saw it and participated in that, but if you could have seen those guys just enjoying God's presence, worshiping Him in freedom, having fun together that week, learning about the reality of who Jesus is in them and the truth of His kingdom. And youth group and teen church for children that are moving up, as we saw those six children this morning are now progressing up age-wise and as they mature into teen ministry, ministering to them. The stuff we do at Easter time and at Christmas and in the fall and involvement with Canal School, which is an ongoing outreach commitment to a school and a community that's largely focused, obviously, on children. Stuff that we're doing at the Westbrook Community Center, and Chad and a whole team have been down there renovating a whole section that's going to be used by children in the Westbrook Community Center. I think about our support and engagement with ABBA, which is a women's resource center, but that's all about preserving and protecting the sacred reality of life and not having it be scrubbed out by people making a choice to abort a child instead of bringing that child that God has given to life. There's so many different ways in which we're committed to this. And you've heard already Chad refer to the fact that we got the compassion experience coming. These are guys who are committed to reaching children on a global scale. And we have the joy and the privilege this week as one little local church of being able to be involved in that cross-cultural global effort because it's being brought to our very doorstep. And we're having an opportunity to see what some of these kids in two different countries of the world experience, what their life is like, how compassion is reaching out to them in practical and powerful ways with the love of Jesus. I mean, this is the truth of the invitation that Jesus wants us to make to kids. And there will be other creative ways that we do that as a church in the future. You know, it says in the scripture, train up a child on the way he should go. When he's old, he will not turn from it. And rightly, we often cite that verse as a responsibility to and a template for parents. Raise your children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. And absolutely and rightly so. That's an application of that scripture to the responsibility that children have to raise parents have to raise their children in the ways of God's kingdom and in relationship with Jesus. But there's an application there to the church. I believe that we as a spiritual family have an opportunity and a responsibility to raise children up, as it were, not to displace the role of parents. Preeminently, that comes with parents in families. But we as a spiritual family have a responsibility to one another, don't we, to help one another grow? We have that responsibility and that privilege to do that with children too. They are not an afterthought in God's mind or heart, and they're not an afterthought in the heart and mind of this church either. We want to be for children. And then lastly, in this passage, Jesus blesses children. I love this picture. It's one of the most tender, poignant pictures, I think, in the gospel account. It says that Jesus took these children in his arms, he put his hands on them, and then he blessed them. So here's Jesus reaching out to the children that the disciples rebuked, picking them up in his arms, putting his hands on them, and then releasing the grace and favor of blessing into their lives. What an amazing picture that is of God's heart and of what God wants to deposit into the life of each child. I thought about that as those children were standing up here this morning, and I just led us in prayer for a brief moment there. Just the deposit of grace into their lives that's gone on throughout the arc of their journey in children's ministry, and that will continue as they move into youth group and teen church. You know, the Lord's actions in this account are every bit as important as his words, and that's always true in Jesus' ministry because he was the word worker. He spoke words. He proclaimed things, and then he demonstrated them. And here he proclaimed something to the disciples about the innate and inestimable value of children to the heart of God, and then he demonstrated that by scooping them up into his arms, putting his hand on them, and blessing them with favor and grace. I love that picture. It's a picture of love and tenderness on God's part and of great blessing through the power of touch. He lays hands on them freely and joyfully because God wants to favor children. He doesn't have favorites among children. He wants to favor all of them. Isn't that the way that he treats us? It says in Romans, Paul said, God's not a respecter of persons. Okay? He doesn't pick favorites among us. And God loves all of us with a tremendous level of unconditional love and grace that we're all recipients of. That's the way that God loves kids and wants us to do that, too, as a people, as a community. He wants us to touch them with his love, with the love of the Lord, because that's a very transforming thing. It really is. You know, there's something about, I'd love to do some more research on this, but there's something about the power of touch, just in human relationship. Emotionally, there's something communicated. I'm talking about righteous, appropriate touch. But there's something wonderful about the power of touch. And when it's the touch of Jesus upon our life, they experienced it physically. We experience it spiritually. But it's just as impacting now for us as it was for them then. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who shapes and communicates and expresses that touch that comes from the Lord in our lives. I believe there's no greater thing that we can do as a community of God's people than love kids in the way that Jesus loves them and inculcate into their lives just the grace of Christ in his many imaginative, creative, and faithful ways as we can do that. So that they can learn to move with the rhythm of God's heartbeat. That's what God wants for kids. So let's remember that this morning and this week as we go into this week with compassion, that God is communicating to us through this encounter that Jesus had with his disciples, something that he wants us to know every bit as much as he wanted them to know a couple thousand years ago. There's not a statute of limitations on this teaching. This is as prescient now as it was then. We're to honor kids and bring them to the person of the Lord. We're to welcome them so that they can encounter the presence of the Lord daily, Learn how to do that. And touch them with the transforming love of Jesus, because Jesus said, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So this week, we've got a great, unique opportunity to do that with compassion. And I just want to echo what Chad's already said. If you haven't already registered for it, do that. This is a great opportunity. Most of us will never get to go to the countries in the world from where these two children, whose life and experience and daily reality is going to be depicted for us on the tour on this huge bus that's coming in here. But we get to be in on that. And there's also an opportunity subsequent to the tour, if you want to sponsor a child. You're not required to do that. There's no, you know, definite linkage between those two things in that sense. But this is a great opportunity. So if you haven't signed up, go on the website, register for one of those slots. It takes about 20 minutes or so to go through. And it will really open your eyes, and ours too. I'm really looking forward to it. I've signed up for a slot, want to go through it and experience and get a window into what the life these children are living is like and how compassion is making a difference in powerful and practical ways with the love of Jesus in their lives. In the lives of their families. And then we still need, what, four? Chad said, if you didn't hear that earlier, if you weren't in here at that point, we need four more volunteers. That's all we need. We needed 40. We've got 36. We're down to four and counting. So we need four of you. If you haven't already signed up to volunteer, it's just for a certain segment of time. Again, you can go on to the website, go on to the Vineyard event, click down, and you can register to volunteer as well if you'd like to do that. Okay, let's stand this morning. And let's